Number one, Luke chapter number one in your Bibles. Appreciate all those coming out. I had a great crowd come out this past Monday, and I know there were some come early and some come back later and worked. Miss Charlene done a ton of work over here, but I appreciate all of you that came and help get the church ready and prepared for the season. And it's sure is beautiful. God has, I don't say much about this. Usually when we have a visiting preacher or missionary or singing group or whatever come through, they always mention just how beautiful the sanctuary is. And we come in and out every week, and sometimes it just becomes normal, but God has truly blessed us with a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful place to worship Him. And I know it's not the building, it's certainly not the building that constitute a church, but thank God for the building that we do have. And I appreciate those of you coming to help make it as beautiful as it can be. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1, verse number 46. If you're there, I'll tell you what let's do this morning. Let's stand to our feet, and we'll read together. I'll let you stretch a minute as we honor the Lord's Word. Luke, chapter number 1, verse 46. If you're there, say amen. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth of all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from this generation from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled thee hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away, sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I'm going to preach this morning with the help of the Lord on the subject, Christmas is a celebration of the Lord Jesus. I know that it has been made into much more than that. You don't have to look far. Just go home and cut the TV on or look at all that's going on. It has been made into a major, major holiday. The money that is poured in and taken out of my wallet and yours during this time of the year is unbelievable. But Christmas is way more than Rudolph and Santa Claus and Christmas lights and decorations. All of that is fine in its place. All of the festivities. I love Christmas. I do. When I was a child, I looked forward every year to that morning of getting up in the middle of the night and running in the bedroom or in the living room and seeing what I had got and what my brothers had got. And then you get older, and it's less about presents and more about people and getting together with family and things like that. But as Christian people, we should, more than anybody else in the world, understand and comprehend that this is way more than another holiday. What we are celebrating is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's primary. That is absolute, absolutely the reason for the season, has been said. And so Christmas, a celebration of the Lord Jesus. And by way of introduction, let me say, concerning the text we just read, the months between the announcement of Christ's birth and the actual moment of His arrival were months of hard decisions and anxious waiting on the part of Mary and Joseph. Can't you imagine the circumstances they were dealing with? This poor teenage girl, not rich and famous, just a lowly handmaiden, and had tried to live right and do right, and she was pure. She was an honest young lady, and she knew that, and she had integrity, and she had her spirituality in a good place, and so did Joseph. To all you teenagers in here, especially those of you teenagers in here that are of dating, in the dating scene, hear me right here. And I know it's Sunday morning, which needs to be said even louder and longer probably, but Mary, the reason God put His hand on her and God chose her and God put a call on her life and chose her out of all the children and all the young girls that would ever be born to allow her to carry in her womb the Lord Jesus Christ was because she was pure. And I hope you understand what I mean by pure. I mean she was undefiled. She hadn't had premarital sex. She hadn't defiled her body. She hadn't sinned against her own body. And that's what the Bible says we do when we commit those wicked acts. And so to every teenager, listen, the Bible still says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Y'all hear me? And Mary understood that. However, get in your mind what this young girl is dealing with. The God of heaven come down and put in her womb, her pure virgin womb, the Lord Jesus. And how are you going to explain that to people? Mama, I'm pregnant, but it's God. I'm sure she got some cross looks. I'm sure hardly nobody believed that. I mean, that's all. You've heard the old cliche, well, the dog ate my homework. Well, I'm pregnant, but God did it. And so there she is, and there Joseph is, and these months leading up to this child being born, can you just imagine the pressure that this young girl's under? And so as difficult of a time as it surely was, it's still a pleasure to watch and see how Mary conducted herself under all the pressure, under all the circumstances she was dealing with. It's amazing how she conducted herself. And in the passage, she had made a journey to visit her cousin Elizabeth because she too was pregnant with none other than John the Baptist. And when Mary arrives to her cousin's house and speaks to Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, when Mary tells her cousin, hey, I'm pregnant too, John the Baptist cut a flip in Elizabeth's womb and had a shouting spell because he knew the Messiah was here. He was on the way. And so Elizabeth responds and that God will do all that He had said He would do and through her life. Hearing this, Mary, even though she's young, unmarried, and pregnant, listen, begins to lift her voice in celebration and praise to the Lord. That's amazing to me. I mean, it'd be one thing to celebrate that her cousin Elizabeth is having John the Baptist, but her knowing what everybody's talking about and what everybody's going to know when her belly starts bulging and what all the gossip will be, Mary pulls herself together and ponders on the things that God's doing and rises above her situation and circumstance, and she celebrates and praises the Lord. If Mary can praise the Lord under the circumstances and situation, surely we can. Amen. And so I want to look at three thoughts this morning. Number one, Mary celebrates the Lord. Why did she celebrate the Lord? Number one, she celebrates the Lord for personal grace. Look at verses 46 through 49 in this chapter. The Bible said, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." So Mary celebrates, number one, the personal grace that she's experiencing. In the first two verses, she expresses personal praise to the Lord for blessing her in her own life. And she sets an example to every Christian that would follow after. Listen, it was just the grace of God. Though Mary was pure, and though Mary was a virgin, Mary wasn't the only virgin walking planet Earth. God didn't have to choose Mary, but God did. Why? Because it was his unmerited favor on her. And God, when he chose her and touched her and overshadowed her and put the Lord Jesus in her womb, Mary understood that that was a pure personal act of the grace of God to let her carry the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't you agree? Some of you, now listen, I ain't a girl, thank God. I live in the house of five and ain't never wanted to be one, never do. Don't understand these nutcases who want to switch from being a boy to a girl. Lord, help you, Jesus. You need help. By the way, to you teenagers and young people again, they ain't. If you was born a boy, I better not ever see your hair get long and you put makeup on. Amen. I'll whoop you myself. That's for you too, buddy. And hey, and you girls, don't ever hack your hair off and act like a boy.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Are you listening? It's sad we got to say that, but it's, Lord, help us. Everybody else is telling them that's how to be. We, as the people of God, and surely as a preacher, ought to tell them that ain't how to be.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. So Mary's experiencing the personal grace of God, and she understands, first of all, she has been redeemed. Mary's been redeemed. It talked about it in verses 46 and verse 47. She said, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my" what? Savior. If God's her Savior, that means her testimony was, I've been redeemed. He came to me and he rescued me and redeemed me. Well, that's the grace of God. He didn't owe Mary that, but he gave that to Mary. The first object for which she lifts her voice in praise is for her salvation. Amen. There's nothing greater to praise him over. And like the rest of us, Mary was born in sin and she stood in need of a Savior. Listen, I don't care what the Catholic Church says. I don't care how many Hail Marys has been lifted. Mary was a sinner in need of a Savior. Mary said it out of her own mouth that he was her Savior. Not just another man, not a good prophet, but not her co-equal. Last I checked, if you have a Savior, then you needed him to save you. And she knew she needed to be saved from her sin. That's what Jesus came to do, to save his people from their sin. And Mary recognized it was the grace of God that allowed her to be saved and to be redeemed. Verse 47, she declares her dependence upon God in heaven for her salvation. She's simply praising the Lord for this salvation that she's experiencing. Your life may be falling apart this morning, but listen to me, if you've been redeemed, God's shed his grace on you. God's been good to you. And that only come by the birth and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it made that possible for every one of us that's been saved. According to Luke chapter number 10, verse 20, simple salvation is a good reason to praise the Lord. Talking about celebrating Christmas because of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said in Luke 10:20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather because your names are written in heaven. I mean, your world could be coming unglued and your world could be falling apart this morning, but if your name is written in another world called heaven, you have reason to rejoice and celebrate and praise the Lord. Think about it. Because you've been saved, you'll never go to hell. I said you will never go to hell. Never go to hell. That ain't something just worth skip to Maloo, my darling, right on past. And no, think about that. You will never go to hell. Goodness, let that sink in on you. You don't have to pay for your own sin. You don't even have to ever face your sin. You don't even have to ever have your sin brought back up to you. You don't ever have to give an account for it because He redeemed you. He bought you off the auction block of sin and redeemed you and paid your price. That's why He came. That's why He was born. That's why we celebrate. Mary understood that. Because you've been saved, not only will you have to go to hell, but you'll never stand at the judgment. And you hear preachers preach about the great white throne judgment, when we will be there, but we'll be on His side as He's judging them and hearing those awful, I believe, 11 words that sinners, it'll be the last 11 they'll ever hear before being cast into the lake of fire. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. You'll never hear that with your name attached to it if you're saved. That's worth celebrating. Amen. If you're saved, not only will you not go to hell and have to go to the judge, but you are guaranteed heaven. I mean, the polar opposite of the judgment and the hell we deserve. We get heaven forever. You get to experience the presence of the Lord throughout eternity. My goodness. Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. See, I'm just not a public person. I'm just not an emotional type. Let me read that verse again. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. I don't think you can wiggle your way out of that. I don't think there's no exemptions for anybody there. I'm just not the celebrating type. I get quiet. Listen, ain't you glad? He who knew no sin, He wasn't acquainted with sin, it wasn't His nature, but He became it for you. And even if it ain't your nature, even if it ain't in your DNA to be verbal and vocal in public, ain't you glad that He was willing to change His address for you? And ain't you glad that He was willing to go outside what He was used to and able to? He did that for you. So surely we can offer to Him a sacrifice. It may be a sacrifice. It may be hard for you. It may not come as easy for you as it does for others. But still, that don't excuse you. You should, because He redeemed you and He gave His grace to you. And He came to this wicked world that would crucify and kill Him. Even if it's a sacrifice, we should offer praise to Him and celebrate Him, because He's worthy. Amen. Hey, some people say, I just ain't got much to praise the Lord over. I beg to differ. You looking at it all wrong. You staring at the problems instead of the problem solver. Amen. Put your mess in context to who you are and who he is and what he's done. And I promise you, you got something to praise him for this morning. I do too. And so Mary's rejoicing and celebrating. She knew what she was talking about. When you are saved and you know it, it'll put rejoicing in your heart. There's nothing more to celebrate. There's nothing greater than being saved and knowing that you are. Being saved and forgiven of sin and having that assurance in your heart. Not laying in the... Remember how it used to be before you got saved? Remember when you would go and you could sin and it not bother you, and boy, it'd be fun and they was pleasuring it for a season, but even when the alcohol wore off, and even when the drugs wore off, and even when that relationship that was illicit, even when that was gone and she was gone or he was gone, when you would finally get alone and lay down in your bed at night, deep down in your soul, there was something missing. And there was something troubling you, and you knew something wasn't right. You knew you wasn't right with the God of heaven, and you knew that you needed more. Remember that? No longer.
Amen.
No longer.
Amen.
I mean, listen to me. I ain't going to get into great detail right here because I got to go home and live with her. But me and my wife had an argument last week. And used to, if we'd have an argument, I'd lay there all night and toss and turn, wouldn't be able to sleep. Seriously, it bothered me. Until that was resolved, it just drove me insane. Now, Brother Ned, I don't know if I've just been married long enough or what, but you know what I do when we have an argument? Even if it ain't resolved, I put my head on the pillow and I go to sleep. I say, I'll deal with that tomorrow. Talk till Jesus comes, but I'm going to bed. She does too. She knows it's true. Will I not go to sleep? I used to wouldn't let it go, but now she can be talking and I'll be snoring. I'm telling you. You say, why did you say that? Because I remember before I got saved that inner struggle of no peace and just, oh, me and God wondering and just hoping I would go, if Jesus was to come and I'd hear a preacher preach about hell and I'd lay down at bed at night and I'd just see myself falling in the flames and I'd see, seriously, I would picture the church, me sitting in church and people beside me on my row and all of my family raptured out and me left. Like some of you would be this morning if he comes, sadly. It bothered me. Oh, it bothered me. But you know what? Not no more. I have an inner peace so deep. I'm telling you, I'm so saved, it's pitiful. I'm so saved and sure that when I die or when he comes, I'm going to him or I'm going with him.
Amen.
Period. No question about it. Because my sins are gone. And if you ain't saved this morning, you don't know what you're missing. Kind of like I didn't know what I was missing. When me and her had argued, I'd stay up all night missing good sleep. Had no idea I could just roll over and snore through it all. It's wonderful. But not to be compared to be able to pillow my head at night and know deep down that I'm saved. And sure of it. And you shouldn't settle for anything less than that. Not only was she celebrating the fact that she'd been redeemed, but she was celebrating the fact that she had been regarded. We're talking about the grace that God showed on her. Listen, verse 48, first part of that verse said, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." Mary understood that was nothing but the grace of God that her little old self, meek as she was, poor as she was, that God, the God of heaven, out of all the millions of young women that had been born before her and all the billions that would be born after her, God regarded her. Could I say to you this morning, just still on the subject of grace, that's where we're at this morning. I'm not going to get finished. I thought this would be one of these little three-point Christmas outlines, but no, there's too much in here. I'm talking about God saving us and God giving His grace to us, and Mary understood that. And listen, she said, God regarded me. God, not only did He redeemed me, but He regarded me. And can I say to you, think about that. Oh, Lord, you don't want to talk about why we should celebrate? Wake up in here and listen to me. God, the God of heaven, out of all the billions that have ever walked this planet and lived in this world, God came to where you was, called your name, regarded you. He didn't have to come to your address. He didn't have to deal with you. He didn't have to convict you. You didn't have to hear the gospel, but He let you because He regarded you. I don't understand all this. Don't claim to, but I'll say this. There's people in Africa who will never hear the gospel one time. And we've heard it till we get bored with it. And I'm simply saying, Mary understood that God regarded her in her lowest state. And I don't want you to leave here this morning without knowing God didn't have to find you. He didn't have to follow you. But He did, because He regarded you. And Mary understood, His grace has shined upon my life, and God redeemed me and God regarded me. That word regard means to turn the eyes upon. God looked my way one day, and I never will forget it. Let me explain that. When I say I'm redeemed and I'll never go to hell, Brother Ned, it ain't because I've done something. When I say there's something deep in me that I'm saved, my sins are forgiven, and I'm settled on it and sure about it, it's because I remember the day He looked my way.
Amen, Richard.
And when He looked my way, it's what it takes. Yeah. I looked back.
Amen.
And we locked eyes.
Yes, sir.
And I looked deep into the eyes of the God of heaven, and I realized He's staring at me. I've got His attention, His full attention, and He's got my full attention. You don't get saved popping chewing gum and walking down and repeating a prayer. You don't get saved just happy-go-lucky. No, you'll get saved when you lock eyeball to eyeball with the God of heaven, realizing He regarded you and He looked at you and called your name personally. And you look back and you responded in humility. He's the God, the holy God of heaven, looking at a wicked man in low estate, as Mary said. Yeah, that ought to humble any human being. But it ought to also, this side of it, like Mary did, make us want to rejoice and celebrate His birth and His coming. Amen. Well, Mary knows she don't deserve the wonderful favor that God had put in her life and on her and had extended to her, yet He did it anyway. She knew it was grace. We who are saved have been chosen, just like Mary. We have been called. Remember when He called your name? Yeah. And saved, here it is, purely by grace. What does the Bible say, Ephesians chapter 2? For by grace are you saved, through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Mary didn't do nothing to gain this. It was just the grace of God. And boy, that's my story. I thank God for a good upbringing. I mean that. I thank God for a godly mama. I really mean that. But my mama and her spirituality can't save me or take me to heaven. And I don't care how many deacons or preachers you have in your genealogy, it will not get you to heaven. You need the grace of God personally, like Mary experienced and like I've experienced and like many of these in this room has experienced. And if you had never done that, you are as bound for hell as the most wicked murderer that's ever lived. Because you stand naked before God without His Son and the blood of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, speaking of grace, said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace, which He hath bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." I'm preaching this morning about celebrating Christmas, the reason for the celebration. Listen, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Right? Now, are you who you are by the grace of God? The answer is yes. Amen. Let me answer that for you. The answer for me and you and Paul and is yes, you are. Amen. What you are by the grace of God. So I ain't here to celebrate you. And you ain't here to celebrate me. We are here to celebrate the one who ushered and offered the grace to us. And His name is Jesus. And Paul said in that verse, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And because of that grace, because of that wonderful grace He bestowed upon me, I labor the more. I labor more than they all. Why? Not because He is a religious zealot. That's what He was before grace found Him. Not because He had ascended into the hierarchy of the Pharisees. That's what He was before grace found Him. No, He said, I labor the more because of this grace that He bestowed upon me. And I say we could all labor more and rejoice more and celebrate more the grace of God. Amen. Because of His goodness to us. So not only was she redeemed and regarded, and I'll close here, and we did get through one point this morning. We did good. She was rewarded because of this grace. Look at verses 48, the second part, and verse 49. It said, "Behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath, I love this verse, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." He that is mighty. You know, I got the same testimony. I never carried Jesus. I never carried Him in my womb, but I have carried Him in my heart. And if you saved, you carrying Him in yours. Right. And you along with Mary can say, because of the grace of God, I've been redeemed, I've been regarded, but I've sure been rewarded. Why? Because the great God of heaven has done great things to me and in me and for me. Can you imagine what Mary was experiencing? I mean, it had to be overwhelming. I ain't never been pregnant, thank God. And all you men said amen. But I've seen the process. And it's overwhelming. I thank God for women and mamas. Amen. Y'all got so much on y'all's plate, we ought to leave y'all alone. Y'all have to get up and do all that with y'all's hair and makeup and then give birth. Woo! Any... My goodness. Yeah. Man, we got it made. Yeah. She'd been rewarded. Mary realized that God is doing something wonderful through her life. After all, she is to be the means by which the God of eternity enters into human history. Think about that. She's grappling with and grasping hold of the fact that through her little old body, through her little old life, she felt so insignificant. She felt so inadequate. But in her little old meagerly life, the eternal God was going to enter into humanity. That's amazing. Mary was the first for that to ever happen. But Mary wasn't the last. Because Jesus wants to enter into your life this morning. But He don't want to just stay there. He wants to enter this world through you. And just like Mary carried Him, and Mary caressed Him and loved Him like every sane mother does, felt every kick, cherished every moment. But then it came time to deliver, and Mary delivered Jesus to the world. Every child of God is carrying Him. We're in that 9-month process as we speak. He's in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in you. It's time for you to celebrate Him. It's time for me to celebrate Him and His grace upon us. But there comes a time when you've been carrying Him long enough, and most of us have. It's time to deliver Him and let the world have Him. Because couldn't we all agree the world needs Him? That's why He came. How selfish would it have been for Mary to keep Him to herself? Do you understand? This ain't part of the message, but hear me, and we'll close right here, but hear me right here. How awful would it have been for Mary to hide Him and say, "He's mine. This is God's gift to me." And He was. He was. But how selfish and how tragic it would have been for the world and for me and for you had she stole Him away like most Christians do. We're so grateful He saved us. We're so grateful He came to us. We're so grateful He's in us. But we don't want to deliver Him. Oh, it was a painful process. I've watched it. Never felt it, thank God, but I watched it. But the joy of that delivery process, when that baby is delivered to that family, they ain't nothing like it. How many of you ever been in a birthing room, saw a child born, yours? There ain't much compares to that. It's amazing. It's like, that came out of me. I mean, not out of me, but it's part of me. It came out of her and part of me. We made that, and it's amazing. It's amazing. And it's wonderful. And that's exactly what Mary did when she delivered Jesus. She went through that. And as amazing as it was, she was willing to share Him with the world. Immediately. I mean, we've read the Christian story. We read it all every year. But immediately, they were people there. The Magi and the wise men and the shit. I mean, they descended upon. And she didn't say, "Oh, no, 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 He's mine." She shared Him with the world. And that's what He desires from me and from you this morning. Since His grace has been so good to us and He redeemed us, And he's rewarded us. And he's spoken our name, and surely we can share him with the world. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, have your way, Lord. I pray if there's anybody lost here today, you'd save them. I pray for those that are saved. Oh, God, we'd take you seriously, Lord, and celebrate your marvelous, marvelous grace that's been so personal to us. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is not generic, but God is personalized. God, as we will move on in this message, Lord, I pray you to help us to celebrate, oh God, how good you've been to us. Lord, I pray for our church this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this season. Thank you, God, for all that we see with our eyes. God, the red and the lights, the garland, the trees. But, oh Lord, help us to look higher than that. God, help us to see inside of us, Lord, we that are saved, we're carrying the Lord Jesus just as Mary did. May we deliver him to the world. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You need these altars, they're open.